welcome everyone, both those of you here in the worship center and those of you joining us online as we continue in this message series, Heroic Faith. And all this past week, I don't know about you, but I have been reminded of the heroic sacrifice that so many have paid throughout our history as a country that we might enjoy the freedoms that we do. And I can't forget as well the tremendous spiritual heritage that has been part of our story as well. From the earliest settlers to our founding fathers to the waves of immigrants who came over the years until today, faith has been a huge part of our heritage as well. And I pray that we will never forget it. And I pray that God Almighty will light a fire of faith within us that we might shine His light bright in our generation. One truth we see from the scripture is this: God wants to see all people victorious. God wants to see people, all of us, healed and forgiven, restored and walking in victory. What father doesn't want that for his children? Now, the enemy of our soul wants exactly the opposite. And so there is this ongoing spiritual battle that we have been aware of from the earliest parts of our culture for the hearts and souls of people everywhere. Part of the inspiration of this series is that we will be inspired by the heroic faith of those who've gone before us and will then make our own stands in faith in this, our own generation. So 2 weeks ago, we saw that Abraham trusted God even when he didn't know exactly where he was going. But eventually, he became a father of many nations. And last week we saw that Moses chose to identify with God's people rather than live a life of luxury in Pharaoh's house, and eventually God used him to set his people free. So today we're looking at another person who was more than just a survivor in his day. Joseph was another person who exercised heroic faith in the midst of great difficulties. Now remember the story that this group from Texas, Joseph's story, they portrayed here just a few weeks ago. Remember that? From the time that he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, then as a servant in Potiphar's house, you know, first he was sold into slavery by his brothers, then in Potiphar's house, he's confronted by Potiphar's wife. Now, Joe was minding his own business. He's minding his own business. He didn't go looking for trouble, and yet trouble came and found him. And that can happen in our lives. Temptation is out there. It's often right around the corner. So what can we do? What can we learn from Joe's life, from Joseph's life, to help us in our own journey? So the first thing that I want us to see, if you're following along, is that Joseph experienced God's faithfulness in the past. Joseph had some history of God's faithfulness in his life before this crisis. He had seen God work in the past on his behalf. So remember, before Joseph ended up in Egypt, his brothers at first had a plan to kill him. They were tired of hearing about his dreams. They didn't like the special treatment that their father gave him all the time. And so when he came to visit them while they were tending their flocks, they stripped him of his fancy coat of many colors, and they threw him in a well until they could decide what they wanted to do. And in the end, you know, rather than kill him, we see that they decided to sell him. So in Genesis 3:27, we read, "Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood," his brothers agree. So in the midst of these terrible circumstances, his own brothers thinking about killing him, Joseph, what did he do? He held on to his faith. He held on to his faith, and God proved faithful. God protected Joseph from the anger and the jealousy of his brothers. Rather than kill him, they decided, all right, we'll sell him. If you were Joseph, how would you have felt about that? Would there have been anger? Might there have been bitterness against your brothers? And maybe there was, but over time, God helped Joseph deal with it so that years later, Joseph would tell his brothers in Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So throughout his life, Joseph experienced the faithfulness of God again and again. God took care of him. And you know what? God wants you and me to have that same experience, to learn that we can trust and rely upon his faithfulness, even in the midst of our own worst circumstances. So here's a question. Has God over time proven himself faithful to you? Anybody in the house, God has proven himself faithful to you? Yes. Some hands have gone up. I hope that that's been your experience. Here's another follow-up question. How do you need to trust in God's faithfulness again today? What is that circumstance today or that situation you need to trust him in today? I encourage you, as Joseph did, to continue to look back and remember his faithfulness in the past as you continue to need his faithfulness today. Well, from the story, we also see that Joseph experienced God's blessing in Potiphar's house. Joseph was very aware that it was God who had saved him from his brothers, that it was God who was blessing him as he served in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39:2 says, and let's read it together, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Now, we don't know much about Potiphar. The text says that he was one of Pharaoh's officials, a captain of the guard. But everything about his household and his business just flourished after Joseph showed up. God blessed Joseph, and everything that he touched, as it were, turned to gold. And Potiphar was no dummy. He saw this, and he decided he'd be a fool not to let Joseph kind of be in charge. And so he did that very thing, put him in charge, and things went great. Here's a question. Do you know that God wants to bless you in that same way? It's true. God doesn't like to see his children floundering or defeated. Amen? He wants to see you and me accomplishing things that will make a difference in the world. God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. He wants to see us do well in our lives. But we have to realize that the enemy of our souls is working overtime to try and confuse us at that point. He tries to keep us from knowing the truth. Too many people in the world believe that, you know, they believe that God is actually out to get them. They think that. It's not true. It's not good theology. It's bad theology. But a lot of people think that way. They know, I'm not right with God, and I know that, you know, I've done things that are outside of the bounds of his will, and so they assume that God would be justified in punishing them and just doing them in. And therefore, they are afraid of God. Maybe you know someone like that. Or maybe you've been there. That is exactly how I felt at one point in my life. I was terrified of God, which meant I didn't want to get close to him. I really didn't want to be going to church or to be having anything to do with it, because that would bring me face to face with this God that I, in my faulty thinking, bad theology, was thinking about. Well, that's where I was. And God helped me to see with new eyes as I read the scripture for the first time. I know it was the Holy Spirit now, but for the first time, I was saying, Lord, I really want to try to understand this from my heart. I've heard about it, but what can you tell me as I'm reading that will help it make sense? And the Holy Spirit in that time just came and helped me to see, man, there's this whole story about God's grace and his love, and it's not about what I thought at all. Well, the truth is, God gets no pleasure in seeing us flounder, seeing us or anyone flounder in fear or in shame. He wants to set us free from our brokenness and guilt. He wants to see us transformed by the power of his love and grace so that we can confidently serve him and others around us. He wants to see us prospering like Joseph, confident, sure of ourselves, using our gifts and making a difference that others can see. That's the experience God wants for all of us. And it begins for us when we open our hearts to faith in his son, Jesus. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Joseph experienced God's blessings in Potiphar's house, and I'm trying to say that God wants us to have similar blessing experiences. Another thing we notice, he experienced temptation in the midst of blessing. Now, right in the middle of everything that was good that God was doing in Joseph's life, he was confronted with temptation. Just when everything was going well, Mrs. Potiphar comes. She notices Joseph. He's well built, he's handsome, and she says to him, "Come to bed with me." He experiences temptation right in the midst of God's blessings. And is that not the way it so often happens today? Is that not one of the enemy's best tactics? Right in the middle of some of our great successes, right there in the middle of God's blessing us, the enemy of our soul tries to trip us up with some temptation. You would think, you know, that when we are on the mountaintop with God, when he is using us and when we sense his blessing and when our relationship with God is tight, you know, when it's tight and things are just right, you would think that we might be somehow immune from temptation. Apparently not. You'd think that, you know, our spiritual aura during those times would send Satan packing. But when did Satan come and try to tempt Jesus? After he had spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness in fasting and prayer. I mean, that was a mountaintop experience with Jesus. And after that is when Satan came. The truth is, we are all vulnerable to temptation. And it can happen at any time. So let's not kid ourselves saying, oh, you know, nothing like that would ever happen to me. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this. Let's read it together. So, if you think you are standing firm, be what? Careful so that you don't fall. Be careful so that you don't fall. So one of the huge new sources of temptation in recent years is internet pornography. Its use among men, women, and young people has exploded over the last 20 years because of internet access. The stats are just mind-boggling. It's the enemy's latest ploy to establish a foothold in our lives in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we don't talk much about it in the church or in our culture, but we need to. Because its impact is a huge plague. Its impact is a huge epidemic that is creating havoc in relationships and in households and in lives. Lord, save us. Well, Joseph experienced temptation even in the midst of God's blessing him. And we do too. And yet the scripture says that God, what? Always provides a way out. Though we can count on temptation coming, we can also count on the fact that God provides a way out. So in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And God is what? Faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God provides a way out. So the story is told of a man who goes to a rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, something terrible is happening and I have to talk to you about it." Then the rabbi asked, "Well, what's wrong? The man replied, "My wife is poisoning me." And the rabbi is very surprised by this. He asks, "Well, how can that be?" And the man pleads. He said, "I'm telling you, I'm certain she's poisoning me." And he says, "What should I do?" The rabbi offers, "Well, I tell you what. Let me talk to her, and I'll see what I can find out. I'll let you know." And so a week later, the rabbi calls a man, and he says, "Well, I spoke to your wife, and I spoke to her on the phone for 3 hours. You want my advice?" The man says, "Yes." And the rabbi replied, "Take the poison." That's terrible. That is terrible. That is not right. That is not at all what I'm talking about. A way out. God does provide a way out. Not that kind, but he provides a way out of our temptations. So how does Joseph respond in the heat of his temptation? Potiphar's wife kept trying to seduce him. She kept trying to entice him. Let's look at three things that Joseph did in the face of his temptation. First of all, he did this. He remembered the source of his blessing. Joseph never forgot who he was, and who it was that was behind as well all the blessings he was experiencing. He remembered God was his source. Genesis 39:5 says, "From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of whom? Joseph." Joseph never forgot God. God was his source, and neither should we. The Lord was blessing him, and it's out of gratitude that we should regularly bless God too with our time, our talents, and our resources. That's why we come to worship. That's why we give ourselves to God, because he has given so much to us. Secondly, he kept his master's trust. Joseph refused to dishonor his master. He didn't want to sin against his master. He didn't want to sin against God. And so he said, "Potiphar has given me this great trust. He's turned over everything to me." He didn't want to break that trust. To go to bed with Potiphar's wife would have stomped all over that trust. And Joseph told her so in Genesis 39:9. He said, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph was keenly aware of Potiphar's trust, and he didn't want to break it. Think about all of the people who have placed their trust in you. At home, work, in the community, here at church. The truth is, there are all kinds of people who have placed their trust in you. They are counting on you to do the right thing. And that's what trust is, counting on you to do the right thing. My prayer for you, for all of us, is that because we are following Jesus Christ, because we are connected together in this body called Christ Church, that you are becoming more trustworthy at home, in your community, at work every day. Your connection to Christ through his church makes a difference. So in the face of temptation, Joseph remembered the source of his blessings. God, the source of my blessings. He also kept his master's trust. He didn't abuse his power or take advantage of Potiphar's trust. And in the end, the other thing, he ran for his life. Oftentimes, the best way to deal with temptation is to simply run. The text says in Genesis 39:12, but he left his cloak in her hand and what? Ran out of the house. There was no other choice. Potiphar's wife kept pursuing Joseph, and though he tried to stay away from her, she would not stay away from him. And finally, he had to just run for his life. Run for his life. Sometimes the thing we've got to do is run for our life and realize how serious it is. Nearly 1,500 years after Joseph was getting himself out of Potiphar's household, Paul had a similar flight plan for his young protege, Timothy, when he told him in 2 Timothy 2:22, but flee youthful lust and follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. There are some times in life when we just have to run, when we just need to flee in order to get away from temptation. In fact, there's a great acronym to help us deal with temptation, and it is flee. First of all, we feel the danger. Feel the danger. Often we don't even realize when we're being tempted, but we have a gift. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we might discern and that the Spirit might speak to us about the danger if we're listening. So we feel the danger. Know that you are always vulnerable to temptation. I had a seminary professor who said to all of us, he said, I tell myself every day, I'm just as susceptible as to adultery as anybody else. It could happen tomorrow. There's no reason that that could not happen to me. I'm susceptible, and therefore I'm protective. I'm guarded. I make sure that I don't get in situations where that could be a possibility. Feel the danger. Next, leave the area. L, leave. Turn off the TV. Get up and leave the room. Get out of the house. Get away from the computer. Maybe it's get out of the car or leave the office or get out of the bar or leave those people. Leave that source of temptation. And the other thing I would say is be quick about it. Don't think about it. Don't ponder it. Well, I'm gonna think this through. Don't. Get up and go. Leave. And then E, experience God's pleasure. When you and I encounter temptation, and when you wage a spiritual battle and have victory, there is joy. There is a heart celebration. God loves it when we experience, and He loves it. And we experience His pleasure in victory over temptation. When we know that God is smiling upon us, and it causes us to be smiling as well, there's just nothing like that experience. Finally, I would say another E, establish protections. Is there anything you can do to shield yourself from that temptation in the future? Get some software to block offensive websites. Get rid of some of your cable channels. Or how about deleting those apps? Or set up rules for your own behavior so that you won't even come close to that temptation. I've heard of some people who've said, I've gone back to a flip phone because the flip phone doesn't have data. That's what I need to do. So I understand that. I understand why somebody would say, that's what I'm doing. Stay away from those friends. Stay away from that place. Have a scripture verse or read, or to quote, or find a friend who is willing to hold you accountable for your actions. Who is it that is holding you accountable? Flee. Now that's a great action plan when we are dealing with temptation. I hope that you'll post that somewhere, that you'll remember what it's talking about. And don't forget the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus, He taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Consider this, in a survey, discipleship journal, readers of Discipleship Journal ranked areas of greatest spiritual challenge for themselves in a survey. Here's how things Christians in America ranked their greatest spiritual challenges. See if we identify with any of these. First of all, materialism. Second, pride. Third, self-centeredness. Fourth, laziness. Fifth, sexual lust. Sixth, anger, bitterness. Seven, envy. Eight, gluttony. Nine, lying. Ranked greatest spiritual challenges. Now notice what the survey responders also said. They noted that temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God. 81% said that. Or when they were physically tired. 57% said that. We need to get good rest. Here's what they also said. Resisting temptation was accomplished best by prayer. 84%. By avoiding compromising situations, 76%. I'm not even going there. I'm not even letting that situation happen in my world. I'm taking these steps so that that situation won't happen. Bible study, 66%. Or being accountable to someone, 52%. These are the ways that they were, I found resisting temptation best accomplished. So these are practical things we can do to flee, F-L-E-E, temptation. Remember, there's a fight that's going on all around us for our spiritual souls. Don't be blinded by the ploys of the enemy, but be spiritually alert and awake and do this. Take hold of the greatest spiritual weapon known to humanity. Jesus Christ gives us the victory over our sins and temptations. Your relationship with Him, that ongoing relationship, that abiding relationship with Him is key. He is the one who paid the price. He is the one who made the sacrifice so that you and I could be free. Amen? Let's pray about that. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, gracious God. Oh, loving Lord. We thank You for Joseph's life and heroic faith. Lord, we want to flee from temptations and the evil desires that fight against our souls. Help us to remember what that means. And equip us by the power of Your Holy Spirit so that we can experience victory day by day. We know that You want us to thrive spiritually. You want to see us victorious. So give us heroic faith like Joseph. He remembered Your faithfulness. He also kept trusting in You. And he knew what it meant to flee from evil. Lord, give us Joseph's approach. He was more than a survivor. He thrived spiritually. Even when he had every reason to feel betrayed. And how he never lost faith in the midst of unjust and difficult circumstances. We see that in Jesus' life as well. That's why we praise Him. That's why we love Him. That's why we serve Him. It's in His name we prayed. And everyone said, Amen.